Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back from the break. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Wesley Wildman. And now Chris Woodward, he's the news guy. He replaced Fred for this last segment. Good morning / good afternoon to you.
Yes, reports of my demise last week were greatly exaggerated.
You were on vacation, right?
I was.
Yeah.
I was.
Well, nobody was reporting your demise.
I survived a beach trip. and with today's news of unfortunate shark attacks, praise God.
Were there shark attacks?
There have been some shark incidents in the Florida Panhandle that are in the news today. Yes, some people have been really injured.
Shark incidents.
That's how it's news speak.
The news speak.
Incidents involving sharks taking nibbles off of human beings are in the news.
Incidents involving sharks. Okay.
They were mostly peaceful, though.
Yes, mostly peaceful incidents. Yeah. Well, that's the right way to have a run-in with a shark.
Yes,
if it's mostly peaceful. So yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't hear about the shark incidents.
Yes.
Anyway, welcome back. Nobody was saying reporting on your demise.
Oh, I just like to do that.
Yeah. Now, can we confirm how serious the shark situation is? Here's why. Because so many times you get one little clip and everyone freaks out.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah, out of millions and millions of people beach.
My wife and I had this debate yesterday. I'm not on social media. So
yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't get social media clips sent to me occasionally. But I'm not on social media. And so sometimes she's quicker to bite take the hook than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having this debate, and she was telling me everything you were saying. And she went up one notch or two about the seriousness of it. I'm glad,
The danger posed.
I was like, I don't know. She started showing me some videos, and I was like, where was it?
Yeah.
Was it like 100 miles offshore?
Was it in Australia?
Australia. So.
This just in from Rusty Pugh. Two fairly serious attacks in the Destin area. One lady had an arm amputated by the bite.
Okay.
Wow.
But the mathematical odds of you being there on that day in that exact location are
still
small.
Rude. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just gonna lay it all out there. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been in the ocean swimming since I saw Jaws at the theater. I'm not lying.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Problem solved. When I was growing up, we went to the beach a fair amount, Middle East, up in New England.
Yeah,
where Jaws happened. And in high school, when a bunch of us would go down to the beach, we would all swim way over our heads.
Oh, yeah.
And just be out there, And then I saw Jaws, and it suddenly dawned on me, there could be big things swimming under me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never been over my knees since then.
Yeah. I wasn't in the Destin area. We went to the Orange Beach area. We did on one afternoon while we were at the beach, another couple whose kids were playing next to ours. The mom approached me and she said, "Hey, I think I saw some fins out there. It might be dolphins." I didn't see anything, but swim at your own risk and pay attention to the kids if they're out there in the water while you're relaxing on the sand.
So really, really second guess or really think through if you're going to go to the sandbar or not.
Yes,
because in years past, it's been a tradition for Walker, myself, and my brother-in-law at some point in our 7 days in Destin to go to the sandbar, which the sandbar, for those to kind of give a description, you swim about 100 yards to where you can't touch to get to a point that you can touch 100 yards off the shore.
So 200 yards
about
total?
About 100, 200 total.
Wow.
You use a raft or something.
Yeah.
But you can still see the shore. And the idea is that what you're trying to do is swim, and then you're 100 yards offshore, and you can stand. It's a sandbar off the shore. We've been doing that. It's been a tradition for years. So if that's been a tradition of yours too, this year you may want to give it a pass.
Yeah, I mean, you can stand as long as you got legs.
Right.
So that's the problem
here. That's a problem.
And besides, on a raft, that's just good fiber for a shark.
That's right.
That's just – no, listen, folks, you can just think what you want about me.
That's right.
I don't care.
I haven't been swimming since I saw Jaws.
Are you scared?
Yeah, I don't want to listen. Sharks. Listen, you have to understand the Vitagliano luck. I'm going to use air quotes here.
Luck.
Okay. Vitagliano luck is where if anything can go wrong, it will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking sharks. We've got Vitagliano luck working against me. I'm not risking it.
No, I all wouldn't right. do it either.
Judge me if you want, people. That's fine.
You know,
but I'm alive.
I don't want to make sure on the record that you're scared. No. just kidding.
Now that's
that's take that off the record.
Yeah, I'm cautious.
Okay, cautious.
I'm cautious. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, this is an election year for people that might have gotten caught up in other things going on in the news cycle. You know, some people say I'll be glad when it's over, but others are looking forward to casting their vote in November. And I bring this up because hardly a day goes by without seeing or hearing of somebody on the supposed short list for former President Donald Trump, the presumptive GOP presidential nominee in 2024. One of those names is freshman Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, and they were talking about a number of topics, but they took a few minutes out of the segment to ask Vance about him being rumored to be on the supposed short list for Trump's running mate. Clip 10.
It's ultimately Donald Trump's decision. There's a lot of talented people to pick from, and look, I'm glad it's not my decision because there are so many good people. But as I've said to other people, I have not talked to Donald Trump about it. I'm very interested in helping him out, whatever that looks like. So if that means I'm helping out the people of Ohio and the Trump agenda in the Senate, that's great.
Are there
if he asks me to serve, I will certainly do it.
Are there people on the list that shouldn't be on the list? Since you shared.
Yeah, who are they?
Go ahead, again. Pull them up right now.
If you weren't being considered, would you tell us the people? Because the J.D. Vance that I know before he got elected would say, these people don't align with the conservative.
Well, look, if there were people on the list that I thought were total scumbags or bad people, I would say so, right? But I think you look at the list, you look at Doug, you look at Marco Rubio, you look at Tim Scott. These are all like fundamentally good and decent people, and I think all of them would make a fine vice president.
Vice President.
Vice President.
That's where to cut it off.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that is, I'm not going to say a dumb question because that's probably a little bit ugly, Wesley, but that's not a very politically astute question to ask.
No.
Someone who's on a list for potential vice president.
With other people.
Yeah. Who on that list would you like to stab in the back right here on our show?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's a couple other thoughts that come to mind, but from a constructive standpoint for radio here, I think he handled that excellent.
He really did.
He did.
And he would be good.
My thoughts were like, why are you asking me that? You know, let me ask you, what do you, but sure, obviously he handled that.
Which person at Fox News would you like to leapfrog to get a better paying job,
that's
Lawrence?
The same kind of thing. Yeah. That's the same kind of thing that he's asking.
I will, for people that didn't catch the names they threw out there, the other supposed names on the supposed short list, according to Fox and other news outlets, are people including Senator Marco Rubio, a man that Trump referred to for a couple of years as Little Marco after the 2016 election. North Dakota governor and former presidential candidate Doug Burgum is on there. I think Trump's probably got him in mind for like interior secretary or something of that sort. Nobody's told me that. I'm just guessing. And then some of the other names on there are people like Senator Tim Scott. I do think this is, without a doubt, the most important running mate selection in the history of presidential elections, because whether it's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris or Trump and whoever it is, this person could very well be the president of the United States in the not too distant future.
Right.
Given their age, given their health situations, we all know Trump has legal problems that he says he's fighting, and he claims he's done nothing wrong. So I think we always talk about how it's the most important election in the history. Oftentimes it is, but this may be the most important VP pick of all VP picks in my lifetime.
All right, so let me ask both of you guys, and Wesley, you can start, and then Chris. Oh, we'll go Chris and then Wesley. All right, so let's assume for a moment that Joe Biden goes the distance.
Okay.
All right, that he doesn't step down, that he...
Not replaced.
He's not replaced at the convention or any of those kind of things we've been talking about, which are, I think, increasingly, I won't say likely, but increasingly possible. So Joe Biden gets to the convention, and because of what you just said, Chris, because of his age and the fact that most people don't think he's probably going to be able to last the whole 4 years without having to step aside, let's say, do you think that Kamala Harris will stay as his VP pick because that VP selection is going to be so important, or do you think they encourage her to step aside and replace her with someone
else? I think they will encourage her to step aside and replace her, knowing that the media will be on their side and romanticize whoever it is they throw out there, whether it's Michelle Obama or somebody else that we have spent a year and a half talking about, possibly replacing him at the convention. The media will trump up Newsom and talk about how wonderful he is and all these things he's done for California and the fact that he's a caring person for the environment and women's rights and all these things. So even if in the 11th hour they replace Joe and Kamala, they will have the weapons in place to really push home that candidate, even if it's somebody they don't come up with until late August.
Okay. I'll take the other side. I think that they are stuck with Joe, with President Biden and Kamala Harris. I think they're stuck. The Democrat Party is stuck with those two, and they're not gonna replace them. It is what it is, and it's gonna hurt them seriously. I think all their eggs are in that basket. Now, don't ask me how insane that is, because that don't make much sense. But now, backing up just a little bit. So that's my answer to that question.
Yeah.
But I want to finish the list of the short list, because you listed some, but there's a couple more. We got Tim Scott, Ben Carson, Elise Stefanik, Brian Donalds, and Tom Cotton are the remainder on the list as of June 6th.
Okay.
So.
All right.
The reason I mentioned those, because I'm a Tim Scott guy. I'm a Tim Scott guy, but I think, practically speaking, Ben Carson helps Trump most. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
And I got reasons for that. But that's the reason I want to give the rest of the list, because I think Ben Carson will help him.
I would like to see somebody really take on Vice President Harris in that one and only debate.
Yeah.
We always have one debate between the person that's a heartbeat away. I've never understood that. We need to have a couple, in my opinion, that nobody asks for.
That's because you work in the newsroom.
Right. And I get paid debates to monitor these things to tell you about it, America. Yeah. But I don't see Ben Carson being able to take on Kamala Harris in a debate. He will be too nice. Now, we should be polite. I get all that. But I just don't see him given the fiery but that a Marco Rubio or a Byron Donalds or whoever
or
it may
Elise
be could throw
Stefanik
out there.
Yeah.
Elise Stefanik would hold her own there in a debate.
I agree with that. I think that he would not do well in a debate. I agree with that. Yep.
All right. Enough for the speculation of the panel.
From the political world to the sports world, Fox has been running hard with this all day. They just had Clay Travis on to give his two cents about it as well. For people that are not familiar with the story, former NCAA star turned WNBA rookie Caitlin Clark has, for whatever reason, been left off the Olympic roster, which has left a lot of people kind of scratching their heads. She is without a doubt the most famous female basketball player in recent months, really. She got a lot of attention at Iowa because she was a phenomenal star. She made virtually every shot she took. She helped her team win, all these kinds of things. Then
now,
she goes
let me to, just say, and I'm sitting in really for Tim,
okay,
so I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay.
Like
Tim okay.
Now, we do need to give credit where credit is due. Brittany Griner was pretty famous for a while.
Yes.
As a WNBA player.
Some might say infamous.
When she was in prison in Russia.
Yes.
But anyway, that's neither here nor
there. Well, Caitlin Clark is kind of the new household topic,
absolutely.
Household name. Since she arrived at the WNBA, coincidentally, a lot of their games have been on television now, which is something you can't you couldn't have found a few years ago when Brittany was the face of the WNBA. Nonetheless, I've got former NBC sports personality turned Fox News contributor Michelle Tafoya. She's one of the people out there blasting the decision to leave Caitlin Clark off USA women's basketball in the Olympics. Clip 11.
People are discovering women's basketball for the first time for many, many people because of Caitlin Clark. She would have been a boon for this Olympic team. Look, this is a sport. It is a game. Brian, it's also a business. You know that better than anybody. It is a business. This would have meant so much for the ratings of the women's Olympic basketball stuff, all of it.
Well, listen, Wesley, I'm just going to say it doesn't matter to me. I don't watch the WNBA, but I have seen some clips a montage of Caitlin Clark in one of these last games she played, and she's phenomenal. She is so good. Now, I understand she's a rookie and she hasn't quote-unquote proven herself, but she would be good. She would draw a lot of eyeballs to the women's team in the Olympics. That seems like it would make, like Michelle Tafoya said, that would make good business sense at least.
Yeah, I'm going to raise my hand here and remind our audience throughout all of this, and that's that Caitlin Clark, the reason for her popularity and for the attention that she is getting is unanimously because of her performance that she did in college,
right,
and which is now beginning to slowly transition into the NBA. Mm-hmm. Her performance and what she's capable of doing from a basketball skill standpoint is just phenomenal. It's in many cases, it's like we haven't seen anybody shoot like this, dribble like this,
pass like this.
We've seen individuals pass well. We've seen individuals shoot well. We've seen individuals play defense well. But to be able to combine all of those and at the range that she's shooting from and making the shots, we haven't seen anything like this in one individual player in a long time, almost in both sides of the court, men and women's, but we're seeing it now with her and women. So her performance is the reason for her excelling. So why in the world they wouldn't include her on the roster for Team USA, just beyond me.
I will say, outside
of there's been a lot of discussion about her skin color and her taking over the league and all these things. But all of those things that are being discussed goes back to my point originally, and that's that her performance is causing that. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, listen, let me just say this, and I want to be careful here. I don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm about to say about the ladies, okay? Okay, I've never seen the movie Mean Girls. You know, it's about high school, some girls. But gals can be really mean to one another. Now, guys can too, but it's in a kind of a different way. I am not surprised that there's some jealousy and some envy. I can see where if you always see things in terms of race, you would see this and say, huh, this white girl comes out of college and she's getting all the attention. People are watching games because she's white and they don't want to watch the black girls who have been playing in the WNBA. Listen, I get if that's the way you see the world, that's the way it's going to look to you. But I'm just going to say, in defense of America, that Americans love champions and they love quality athletes. Who was the the gymnastics? Bryles? The
Simone?
Yeah, Simone
Biles.
Yeah, Biles. She was a darling of America in the Olympics because she was a winner.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
performance.
Yep. And so it wasn't like a bunch of white Americans tuning in and saying, "Well, Cy, I guess we need to watch the black gymnast for a while because we need to be fair." No, she was smiling. She was super at what she was doing, and Americans love champions. And Caitlin Clark has the ability to be like the female Larry Bird.
Yeah, it's going to backfire.
And her shot selection from way beyond the three-point line, her ball handling, her passing, all of that kind of thing, just for business sense, it would be it'd be huge for her to be on the Olympic team.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. I scored 50 once in a game, but it was on Nintendo, so
you're right, Chris. That doesn't count.
Yeah,
that's what other people tell me too.
Let's move on. Any idea that they might change their mind on this? Or?
I haven't heard any discussion on that as to whether that could happen. I guess it's possible.
Might make matters worse at this point.
Right.
So,
in other news, if you guys haven't made weekend plans yet, you might want to consider magnet fishing, which is apparently something in places to, among other things, try to clean up rivers where people have dumped metal and stuff into it. Safes, guns, coins, stuff like that. And I bring it up because there's a couple in Queens, New York that found $100,000 in cash while fishing in Queens, New York. I've got a little bit of a story here from CNN.
Cash?
Yeah, $100,000 in cash. They found it inside a safe, which he caught using a giant magnet. Clip 12 here.
Babe, more money?
The couple estimates the safe contained $100,000. They notified the New York City Police Department, but were ultimately allowed to keep their treasure.
Stacks, baby!
The department said in a statement that found property that's valued at $10 or more usually has to be left with the police. But in this case, the value and authenticity of the alleged currency could not be determined due to the severely disintegrated condition of the property.
Hopefully we can hand deliver it to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington, D.C. Mutilated money, not 100% can be returned, but they can definitely forensically piece it all, 99 or 90% of it all back together, and hopefully we can get down to Washington, D.C. I don't want to mail $100,000 in an envelope, so.
James and Barbie already have an idea of how they might use the money.
Well, one of our dreams that we've always had is getting a place of our own, maybe somewhere down south where it's warm, somewhere with grass and trees, and where I can get chickens and raise them and goats and stuff like that.
We just don't want the city life anymore. Yeah. It's just rough around here.
Wow. Wait a second.
A lot of thoughts there.
Where do we start?
That's right.
First of all, New Yorkers, you're welcome to come on down here to the South, but don't bring your politics with you.
Don't do that.
If you're going to vote for the same problems that caused your neighborhood to be rough around here, like you said.
That's where we start on this program.
Yes, that's right.
Now, another thought, is it terrible of me? Wait, we're on radio, aren't we?
You're on radio.
Is it terrible of me to go, why did you call the cops? Don't call. You find $100,000. You keep $100,000.
Well, yeah, but you could get in trouble.
You're right. I know.
Because if you suddenly deposit $100,000 into your bank account, then you get arrested as a drug dealer.
Is it worse if I was trying to think of ways to not deposit all at once?
This is the kind of thing you do not say on the radio.
Okay, all right. But they did the right thing, and they were rewarded for it. They got to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they get to keep it. It's kind of bizarre. So this was in a safe. Mm. It just stacks of cash and water got into
more
it.
More money.
Our producer, Adam, was answering your question by replaying the clip.
Yeah, I posted the link to the CNN story that we just aired a portion from, so you can watch the video. She likes to do this because it cleans up the rivers. He apparently likes it because they might find some stuff.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, too. You go, especially under a bridge, and you start fishing. You mentioned guns. Mm-hmm. If you're fishing with a magnet and you find a gun, I'm pretty sure it was used in a crime.
Then you do call the cops. Yes.
I got it.
I will say, as a proud Mississippian, if you are from one of the boroughs and you're looking to move south, as she is, we do have a Brooklyn, Mississippi in Forest County, and there's a Manhattan, Kansas, if you're interested in moving there.
Yeah. Okay. How in the world did he get a safe up with a fishing line?
It is a giant magnet with a really strong line.
Yep. I guess so. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I've seen those before. Y'all have seen the people at the beach with the metal detectors?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people do that for a hobby. In this case, they're trying to.
I had someone, a neighbor, who started doing that, ask if he could come to my yard and use it. It's fine. Whatever you find, though, it's 50-50.
Yes.
All right, folks, that's all we have for this edition, of today's issues. More great programming directly ahead on the American Family Radio Network. And Lord willing, we will see you right back here tomorrow. You have a great day.